If you existed on Twitter, or X as it is now known, a few years ago, you may have seen a particular phrase floating around. Stan Luna. These two words were everywhere, oftentimes accompanied by a set of GIFs or images, but very rarely did it have anything to do with the tweet under which it was posted. The phrase soon gained meme status, particularly on gay Twitter after being tweeted out by drag race star Kim G. One tweet in particular that went viral involved a user saying that if another poster had, quote, "Stand Luna," they wouldn't have broken their foot. This all came to a head when Twitter overlord and Emerald Mine Nepo baby Elon Musk himself tweeted the phrase to his 22 million followers at the time. But what is Luna and why are we standing it? And what does it have to do with one of the craziest legal scandals in the South Korean entertainment industry? I'm Mila Mirkovich.
And I'm Cecilia Wallace.
And today we're asking, what's up with Luna? So to tell this story, we have to look back and figure out where the system that caused all of this came from. In the 1960s, the Motown label helped launch many black artists to stardom in a market that was decidedly not in their favor. Through launching acts like the Jackson 5, the Supremes, the Temptations, and Stevie Wonder, the Motown label had developed a system that took in talent and shaped them into stars. The artists were educated not only in performance, but how to dress, act, and speak to make them more palatable to a conservative white audience. They were meant to act as ambassadors for the black community around the country. The label strictly controlled the music most artists released and gave them very little creative control over their sound and brand. And it worked. Many Motown artists found astronomical success and are remembered as some of the greatest entertainers of all time. While Motown eventually abandoned this system and gave their artists more control over their work, this system of manufacturing celebrity has found new life in the 21st century, a whole continent away in South Korea. After the Korean War, the South Korean economy was devastated. In 1990, the GDP per capita was just $6,600 USD. But everything changed when a trio of boys performed on a music show. They were called Southeji and Boys. Frontman Southeji was joined by Young Hyung-suk and Lee Gino. The three of them broke the ballad mold and performed their debut song Nan Arayo, or I Know, a track that experimented with MIDI technology, a relatively unknown technology to the Korean public. On a music competition show, they won the lowest jury score on the episode, but the song started doing numbers and laid the foundation for the K-pop industry as we know it. The group exploded, and while they didn't quite achieve the international acclaim of some of their modern counterparts, it was still a massive departure from the previous status quo in the Korean entertainment industry. They were famous for their controversial lyrics, many of which were seen to disrespect the elder generation and emphasize the struggles of the youth. Their song Regret of the Times contained such provocative lyrics as, "Educated elders are walking down the street holding pretty dolls. It seems the day everyone has been secretly hoping for is coming today. Lips stained black. Gone is the era of honest people. I wish for a new world that'll overturn everything. I hope I can avenge the grudge in my heart." Southeji and Boys rocked the music industry. Their influence was immense. Similar groups like H.O.T. began to pop up and push the boundaries in their own way. But as the group was at the height of their popularity, they disbanded. One member, Young Hyung-suk, would go on to found his own entertainment company, YG Entertainment, home of the now mega girl group Blackpink. After witnessing the massive popularity of Southeji and Boys, the Korean government realized there was another possible road to a larger place on the international stage, and they turned culture into an export. The government passed a bill funding the arts, and new entertainment companies began to pop up everywhere. And the cornerstone of this booming new industry was the Motown-inspired training system.
I did not know that Motown, like, kind of had this connection to the Korean.
Yeah, it's, like, actually crazy to, like, look back and see just how structured everything was.
Yeah.
Like, fully, like, artists had their songs, like, written for them. Mm-hmm. They were trained, like, they're like, this is exactly how you're going to dance. These are the manners that you should use when you're in public. This is how you treat people. And it was also mm-hmm. that.
And that, like, translated into the Korean industry.
Yeah, gosh. They go crazy with it. Like, children as young as elementary school audition or are scouted for entertainment companies. Many of them drop out full-time or go to special performing arts high schools to hone their talents. They train rigorously for up to 16 hours a day in how to sing, dance, and rap. They're also trained in other things. Most of them receive extensive media and behavior training and learn a foreign language such as English or Japanese. Some idols even report practicing a new personality that gelled more with the company's ideal image of the group. Current group IVE revealed in an interview that their company, Starship Entertainment, trained them in how to take the perfect selfie. During this period, many trainees live in dorms owned by their companies, but somebody has to pay for the room and board, training, food, and other living expenses for the trainees before they start making the company money after debut. That person is the trainees themselves. Until recently, most K-pop companies require that their trainees go into a massive amount of debt before they even debut. Estimates put the annual at around $20,000. But nobody knows for sure how much debt these teenagers are taking on. Even after debut, artists don't make a cent until their group's profits have made enough to pay off that debt. So if your group doesn't succeed, you may walk away with no career and owe your company tens of thousands of dollars, even after years of work. The average idol trains for 2 to 4 years, meaning if they don't succeed, they're both losing money and critical years of their life.
Do you know, are they working at the same time as they're performing as artists and losing all this money?
It kind of depends. A lot of them don't have the option.
Right, they're training 16 hours a day. That's like crazy.
Just brutal, the amount of time that they spend.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they're trained in every like single aspect of their personality. And you can see like when they go on interviews, like some I've watched of this group is like, they're so polished and like they'll all sit down the same way.
Right.
Like they walk with such like, they're so gelled and like you can tell they're like, it's so much teamwork. It's like such a crafted image for all of them.
Yeah, and I mean, if they don't pull it off, then what? They're in $20,000 of debt then? And
yeah, it's like,
oh my gosh. You better hope you succeed as a pop group then. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's kind of like college where like you go and you're like, I hope I get
right, you hope
a
you
job.
Get a career after. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
wow.
And it's so like so few people actually make enough money to ever actually pay this back. Like,
I'm sure.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The K-pop industry is very openly produced and manicured. Their performers are literally called idols because of the perfect image that they are trained to present. They are forced to live under harsh rules and policies. They must maintain a certain body weight, almost always under 50 kilograms or 110 pounds. Most cannot publicly be in relationships to maintain an image availability to their friends, and they are always absolutely apolitical. Like, that part is absolutely crazy. Sometimes around the South Korean elections, you will see a lot of them stop wearing the colors red and blue because they're so closely tied to, like, the political parties that if they're seen to, like, be voting either way, they, like, they just can't do it.
These are such unhealthy standards. It is. 110 pounds is, like, not sustainable.
They're all,
for so
like,
many people.
Rail thin. It's
so dangerous.
Yeah. Once the idols debut, to ensure a maximum profit for their careers, companies would lock them in 10 or 13 year contracts where they would work long hours and barely see profit, often signed before the trainees were even old enough to understand. Luckily, in 2009, boy group TVXQ took their agency SM Entertainment to court over the unfairness of their contracts. This suit set a precedent that changed the entertainment industry for the better, limiting contracts to around 7 years, but that didn't make the problems go away. This is where the story starts, truly. BlockBerry Creative, or BBC, was founded in 2017 as a subsidiary of Polaris Entertainment, which itself is a subsidiary of the Ilkwon Group. The Ilkwon Group is a chaebol, a sort of South Korean equivalent to a Fortune 500 company, but with intense control over various aspects of Korean culture. The Ilkwon Group specializes in weapons manufacturing, meaning that BlockBerry Creative had some significant weight behind it from the get-go. In October of 2016, it was announced that BlockBerry Creative was planning on debuting their first ever girl group, under the creative leadership of Jaden Jong, who had previously worked with some of the biggest labels and names in the industry at that point. The concept was unique. The 12 members would be revealed individually with a solo release and then would join together as Idari Sonyo, which translates to Girl of the Month in Korean, but under Western markets, they would be known as the now infamous girl group Luna. Each girl would debut with her own sound, concept, and aesthetic, systematically targeting several different aspects of the music industry. Whoa. From 2016 to 2018, members Heejin, Hyunjin, Haseul, Yojin, Vivi, Kimlip, Jinseo, Cherry, Eves, Chu, Gowon, and Hyeju, at the time who was known as Olivia Hye, released their individual tracks and a few collaborations. Luna made good on their promise to deliver a wide range of concepts from genres, from Heejin's jazz track Vivid to the cutesy Disney pop Kiss Later from Yojin, and the hard-hitting ballad for Haseul's debut titled Let Me In. Western electronic artist Grimes even featured on the subgroup's collaboration titled Love Forever. The track had moderate domestic success in Korea, selling anywhere from 6,500 to 17,000 physical copies respectively, but the group's best was yet to come.
Was that like Grimes' start, or did they already have a popularity?
I think they were like not as well known as they would be in the next, I think, few years.
Okay.
But I think this was around the time they were like dating Elon Musk.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's the year they like went to the Met Gala together. It is 2018.
Okay.
I think. Yes.
Because I've only heard the one song by them, so I didn't even know they were with Elon Musk for a really long time.
Yeah. Crazy. It like the whole Elon Musk Grimes thing, that was like such a fever dream. I occasionally forget that happened, and I'm like,
No, I remember, I think I was in the car and a song on my phone by Grimes came on and my friend said to me like, oh, you listen to like Elon Musk's like girlfriend songs? No. And I was like, what? I didn't even know.
Of course, this is like before Elon Musk like publicly was just like, well known as like a loser. And just like a generally bad person.
True.
I don't know. Before he like bought Twitter and like had a public meltdown about like people not listening to his
right.
ideas.
And, yeah. Oh my gosh. So for much lore.
Pre-Cybertruck Elon Musk. This is when problems for the group started to emerge. Member Yeojin was just barely 14 when she made her solo debut, and many found it was far too mature a concept for a child of that age. Young debuts had already been an issue for the group, but the first member, Heejin, was only 15 when she released her single, and half of the group was under 18 when they debuted. The expectations for the group's first EP were growing. Plus Plus was released in August of 2018, following the popularity of their pre-release single, Favorite. The music video for the title track, Hi Hi, garnered over 3 million views on its first day on YouTube. Billboard describes the track as a bright electro-pop song full of quirky beats and synths with an upbeat chorus. Furthermore, Billboard stated that the track picks up and drops momentum frequently, allowing it to highlight the different singing styles of each member of Luna. Luna quickly gained mainstream K-pop success. Many attributed the group's massive climb to the creative vision of Jaden Jong. His ability to create a project with so many different elements that created a cohesive vision is still lauded to this day. But the group began to find an additional cult following on Twitter, particularly gay Twitter. In January of 2018, RuPaul's Drag Race alum Kim Chi posted, "Good morning, Stan Luna," and received thousands of likes and retweets. As previously mentioned, the group even got Grimes to feature on one of their tracks, which led to her longtime partner, at the time, Elon Musk, tweeting Luna with two lightning bolt emojis and playfully hinting that he would be providing vocals to the track.
Oh.
It's like back when he like had no like, not because now he's all like cringe if someone's like, Elon yeah. Musk, like you
can,
are like,
can
our
Elon
Lord.
Musk sing is the question. Like,
I wish. Can you like imagine
featuring Elon Musk like a big celebrity drop in that title yeah. would be crazy.
Do you think he'll have like a rap verse?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With his like South African accent, just dropping bars about like,
I can't wait to hear it.
Space. I don't know. What else does he do?
I know that's all. That's what I would have said.
To me, it's just like the guy who builds rockets and the one who made the ugly truck and like owns
the ugly
Twitter.
Truck. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever like?
Oh,
seen...
I've seen that truck. I agree. It's not my kind
I
of
saw
car.
Like a tweet or something, and someone said it looks like when you first load up like a video game and nothing's like fully loaded in yet.
Oh my gosh. Someone said that about like my life creation. I don't know what I do.
I would never be seen in public again.
Nope.
I'll tell you what, I would not be doubling down in my Twitter
nope,
replies.
I'd park the car in the garage and leave it like that.
Shut the garage door, duct tape it shut, and I'm yep. going inside.
Peace out.
Yeah. It is even rumored that member Gowon was named the godmother of Grimes and Elon Musk's child, which whose name I'm not even gonna try to say. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could even, it's simply too beautiful to say out loud.
Right.
I think, mm-hmm. actually. Yeah, and that's what it is. It's not that I don't know how to say it. One member of the group, South Korean native Kim Ji-won, who performs under the stage name Chu, was rising beyond the popularity of her group. Her bubbly demeanor and cutesy aesthetic gained massive popularity in Korea. Chu quickly started taking on more brand ambassadorships and campaigns than her groupmates. Important to note, though, her reputation was pristine. Like, this girl could do no wrong in mm-hmm. the eyes of the Korean public. Like, she was just absolutely beloved.
Like, yeah. When you're talking about, like, the different members of Luna, like, with their voices, do they have different, like, aesthetics, too, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Some of them, like, they release, like, their ballad tracks, which are, like,
okay.
kind of, I don't want to say Adele, because, like,
right.
no one can be Adele. But, like, they're super loud, and some of them are doing, like, jazzy electro
oh, okay.
swing.
Okay.
One of them did like techno.
So very like distinguishable. Then.
Yeah, it's okay. super different, and like, they're like systematically targeted to like appeal to different people.
Right.
Like, because it's all they came up out of a Pinterest board.
Right.
Absolutely. Like very curated.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Their next release, coming out in February of 2019, was Butterfly. The song took more inspiration from the electronic and synth music to create a light and airy feel. The choreography for the release also went viral even outside of K-pop circles. The fluidity of the movement, as well as the members' synchronization and precision, were particularly popular. In October of 2019, though, the hashtag #SaveLuna trended on Twitter after it was revealed that BlockBerry Entertainment's parent company, Polaris, owed Japanese tech firm Donuts 360 million Korean won for the lease of a building space for Luna, which translated to about $340,000 USD. However, Donuts claimed the company only paid them around 40 million won. The company also allegedly failed to make good on a promise to have Luna members appear on Donut's social media networking sites' livestream events, with only Yojin making an appearance. BlockBerry and Polaris were allegedly paid almost 3.5 billion won for the appearance, or $2.5 million. However, BlockBerry claims that it was an issue of money transfer, and they didn't have the money themselves. The court order caused many fans to panic, as it was highly possible that BlockBerry would collapse under the financial pressure of the court-ordered repayment. Many petitions and hashtag campaigns were launched by fans, even some turning back to Elon Musk and tagging him, trying to get him to step in and save the group, which is, like, that is a timeline I don't think I even want to consider.
Yeah.
Where he had, like, his, like mascot girl group for Twitter.
Right. I feel like he would not step in and, like, want to take action or something like that.
No, even. But God, I mean, forbid he did.
Out. Yeah.
Can you imagine a future where Elon Musk has a music act at his disposal?
Imagine
release?
Him part of the music act. Like,
oh, and that's where we put the rap verse
yep,
from earlier,
yep.
Right?
Lean on it.
Yeah. It would be a whole year before Luna made their return. At that time, Jade and Jong parted ways with BlockBerry Creative, and many netizens were curious as to what this meant for the future of a group whose success was so heavily attributed to its creative hand. What we got was So What? A total sonic and aesthetic departure from the group's previous releases. While the track did get the group their first win on a Korean music show, an achievement that is usually seen as a benchmark for group success, Jong's separation was certainly felt by those who had come to love the group because of his involvement. For the first group from a new company, though, Luna on the surface seemed like it was an astronomical success. The group began to garner a cult-like following, who went by the name Orbits, a fun reference to the cosmic themes present in many of the group's music videos. These fans analyzed every new release with microscopic detail, trying to fit everything into the lore that the group had created with their solo projects. Every fan latched onto a different member, and that was part of the genius of the group's marketing. Each girl was different. There was a member for everyone. The constant stream of vlogs and variety show appearances on the group's YouTube channel helped fuel the parasocial connection between the girls and their audience.
Do you have a group member that you'd say is more for you than any of the other ones? Or like fits more of your aesthetic?
I don't know. When we originally were going to start doing this episode, I listened to most of their releases.
Yeah.
Like, just for research. And the first one that came out, the like jazz one from Heejin, I think is my favorite song.
Okay.
But out of pure just like seeing what happens to the poor girl, I think Chu has become my favorite, mm-hmm. simply because I feel bad for her. But yeah, it like, and you can definitely tell, mm-hmm. like just their personalities are so like distinct, mm-hmm. and they all fit that aesthetic that's been curated, that like,
right,
there is really like one of them for everyone, and you can tell, mm-hmm. it's really designed that way.
Wow.
The group's popularity would reach new heights when their next release, Why Not, peaked at 112 on the Billboard 200 charts. They were the sixth Korean female artist to do this, and the fourth highest. The beginning of the end for Luna came with what would be, unbeknownst to fans, their final comeback. After competing on the competition reality show Queendom, the group released the EP Flip That. It was a bubbly summer track with pastel visuals, and it sold 117,387 physical copies in the first week, a record for the group. The group would then announce their first world tour. The tour comprised of 22 shows across Europe, North America, and Asia. However, it was also announced that member Chu would not participate due to what was announced as scheduling conflicts. Tensions had been brewing behind the scenes at BlockBerry Creative with Chu for months at this point. It had been revealed that she was attempting to part ways with the company for her individual promotions and activities. Rumors of legal injunctions and lawsuits were rampant online. So many were hesitant to believe the scheduling excuse. The North American leg of the tour kicked off in August of 2022. The tour was plagued by misfortune. During their Chicago performance, member Kim Lip walked off stage in tears due to the audience repeatedly interrupting her speaking. During their August 17th show in DC, Jin Seo was absent due to health reasons. On the 23rd, Yojin also missed a show due to health problems. During the show in Houston on the 26th, Tuddy complained of aches and cold symptoms, and Hyeju had to leave mid-show due to ankle pain. At this point, concert attendees noticed Yojin was performing with an ankle brace and Hustle was wearing a sling. The Mexico City show would see the worst of it all. It was announced beforehand that Cherry and Hyeju wouldn't be performing. This would be Cherry's third absence from the show. The controversy came to a head during the Mexico City show when Yojin passed out on stage. 7 of the 11 remaining members performed that night, just over half the group's full-strength lineup. After the North American leg of the tour, the group returned to Korea for a week. However, all of their luggage was lost in transit, including their clothing, mics, and earpieces. When the European leg of the tour arrived, it was revealed that Chori would not be participating on the advice of medical staff. When Blackberry Creative announced added dates for the Asian leg of the tour, Orbitz trended the hashtag #LetThemRest. However, as bad as it was, this tour was only the beginning for Luna and Blackberry Creative's problems. In December 2022, Blackberry announced that Chu had been expelled from the group. The statement came after a year of speculation surrounding legal proceedings surrounding Chu's continued relationship with the company for personal promotions, as well as her notable absence from the world tour for scheduling reasons. Blackberry issued a statement accusing Chu of being verbally abusive and taking advantage of staff. Netizens and Orbitz alike were immediately suspicious of the accusation. Chu's reputation in the industry, particularly amongst professionals, was spotless. Her whole brand was her charming, bubbly demeanor. Considering the earlier speculation about her legal injunctions, many accused Blackberry of publicly expelling her for abuse as retaliation for trying to part ways. Blackberry gave no evidence for the claims, however, saying it was up to the parties involved to come forward. Chu later came out on Instagram to deny the accusations and later provided an official statement of her own. At this point, rumors began to swirl that the 11 other members of the group were filing similar injunctions to separate themselves from the company. On December 19th, South Korean news outlet Dispatch published the details of Chu's lawsuit. Allegedly, when Chu signed with Blackberry Creative, the revenue split for income related to the group's promotions and sponsorships and public appearances would be 70-30, with the larger share going to the company. However, the cost of entertainment activities would be split at about 50-50. So there was, like, it was kind of impossible for her to make money with this setup. She's taking half the cost, but only making 30% of the profit.
Yeah. I mean, even as you talked about before, like, already going in debt and then you're not even making that money back if you're stuck in this kind of situation.
Just, wow. It sounds so stressful.
Absolutely.
Chu would go on to win her lawsuit and a readjustment of her contract before she was unceremoniously expelled from the group and Blackberry. But this was not the end of Luna's problems. As the legal troubles mounted, details of the group's life started to become public, and the information was beyond damning for Blackberry. Members began to speak out about years of alleged abuse and mistreatment. Hyeju once told a story about how when they were filming a music video in Hungary, there was a scene where she was eating on camera. She stated that she had been forced to fast and diet so much that she took the opportunity to eat as much of the food as possible, but between takes, staff tried to force her to spit it out. She refused. Go On once recalled another incident where they had to change on a bus and they were so hungry that they stole food that was meant for the staff. Chu even at one point told another story about the girls being so hungry that she and Hyeju hid their snacks during the same trip to Hungary inside neck pillows and trash cans to avoid getting them confiscated by staff. Even Go On allegedly turned theirs in and looked like, quote, skeletons at the end of their trip. Yojin and Vivi told a story during a live stream about how staff had allegedly found an old receipt for a burger in one of their clothes and confiscated all the food in the house, including their condiments, salt, sugar, vitamin supplements, and ginseng extract, and the girls were only allowed to eat 2 eggs and half an apple a day. Many netizens went back and combed Luna's old content for new details about the situation, and many called attention to the bruising many members had on their body during Paint the Town era promotions, particularly Hyeju. Further images from that time slowly show many of the members with baseball-sized bruises on their legs and knees. They also dug up old promotional images that appear to show Chu's body photoshopped to be significantly smaller than it was. Yojin, the group's youngest member, revealed that she had sobbed when the company forced her to cut her hair into a bob earlier in her career. But most disturbingly, she revealed that she and the other members allegedly hadn't been paid a cent since their debut. Again, recall the profit split cost mentioned earlier. So they were taking on more debt and still
not making
anyone.
Right, and their health is deteriorating. And,
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Like, it, to be on Twitter when all of this was happening was, like, absolutely insane.
Just, were you, like, watching all of this happen live through Twitter? Or
like,
did you hear about it later?
I think peripherally, like, I was not at all involved. Like, I had no idea who they were. And I was, like, I saw some of the articles pop up. Mm-hmm. And, like, going back and looking at it, like, now that it is all unfolded is just, like, horrific.
Yeah.
To see all of this stuff happen. Many of the members corroborated these stories of alleged financial hardship and abuse during their time in the group. Chu even detailed how she would spend what money she had on one meal a day and eat it as fast as possible to feel full, leading to her going to the ER several times. The members' health and safety was also allegedly in constant jeopardy. One netizen, only claiming to be a former staff member at Blackberry Creative, allegedly claimed that the members would be forced to perform when they were sick, even to the point of constant vomiting. The poster's alleged staff would come to work drunk and berate the young trainees. Even when the company faced financial hardship, they would blame the girls to their faces. In the midst of all of this, however, BlockBerry announced that the group would be having a comeback as 11, the Origin album on January 3rd. However, with all the information that had been revealed and Chu's exile from the group, fans decided to boycott the release. The album saw a 97% drop in pre-orders from the previous releases, ending up with only 531 in total. On December 22nd, just over a week before the release of the album, BlockBerry announced that the project was postponed indefinitely. Around this time, #LunaIs12 and #FreeLuna began to trend online.
With this January 3rd release, were they all trapped in contracts then still?
Yeah.
Okay.
All of them except for Chu. And so, like, okay, they released fully, like, all the promotional images, like, the schedule for everything that was going to come out. Like, this, like, fully was, like, a week from release, and then they just, like, totally scrapped it.
Okay.
Just because no one was biting. No one wanted anything to do with them. After all this information came pouring out, the legal proceedings between the girls and BlockBerry continued, according to South Korean K-pop news outlet Heejin. Kim Lip, Jinso, and Chetty have won their lawsuits to suspend their exclusive contracts with BlockBerry Creative, while Hassel, Yojin, Eve, Gowon, and Hyeju lost. The result means the exclusive contract of the four members who won have now been suspended, while the remaining five are stuck as label mates. After the news of some members losing the lawsuit broke, Yojin went on social media on January 14th to speak with the group of fans. She said, quote, "The anxiety made me feel there would be no hope, nothing, nobody left by my side. It made me suffer all day. I couldn't help but wonder how I could escape this time. I didn't ask for much. I just wanted to be treated fairly, but I think my dreams were shattered." She continued the next day, "I'm so frustrated, upset, and angry. I'm sorry to bring something like this up so late at night. I know Orbits are having a hard time too. I'm so sorry for making you read something like this. I've never been this desperate before. At which point did everything go wrong? I'm just full of guilt that I didn't make you happier. So I think right now is the moment that I would like to erase the most. It's dark right now. I want to go back to the days when it was bright."
And you said one of these girls was 15 when all this started, right? Or
Yojin, the girl who posted this, was 14 when they first debuted.
Wow.
So she, I think she's like at most 23 right now.
Okay.
She was maybe.
Wow. So trapped in this,
like,
contract
21.
For nearly a decade.
Yeah, like the formative years of her life.
Right.
Spent under these conditions.
Wow.
Like, just absolutely horrific.
Mm-hmm.
However, the members who lost their cases all filed appeals with the High Court of Seoul and were victorious. All 12 members of Luna had successfully escaped BlockBerry. However, as of October 2023, they were still pursuing secondary lawsuits and appeals against the various members in different Seoul courts. For a few months, it wasn't clear what was going to happen to the different members, but eventually, news started releasing that they had managed to find new agencies. Chu signed with agency ATRP and made her solo debut earlier this year with the mini-album Howl. Hyeju, Gowon, Hyunjin, Vivi, and Yojin all signed with the label CDT ENM and debuted under the new name Blue Semble and have already completed a US tour. Eve, signed with Pay Per Mill Entertainment, is planning to release the music soon, and Heejin, Hassel, Jinsol, Kimlip, Chuddy all signed with Modhouse Entertainment, a new company under none other than the creative eye of Jaden Jeong, the group's previous creative director, who additionally at the same time have a 24-member group.
Oh,
called
wow.
Triples, which is, yeah, this guy's doing, like, exponential growth on his girl groups, which, I guess if you math it out, that's in, like, 7 years, I guess we're just all gonna be members of a Jaden
girl
group.
Group, you said it's 24 people?
Yeah. Oh
my gosh, that's a whole dance team out there, wow.
Yeah, I saw a clip of them come up on my Twitter the other day, and I was like, that looks like a dance competition. Like, there's so many of them. It's just, like, that just sounds, like, stressful.
Yeah.
But apparently, as of right now,
that more healthier.
The reputation for Modhouse is, like, stellar for how they treat
great.
Girls. And I guess the evidence is in the fact that these girls are signing with them.
Right.
Because I guess they know
the toxic environment. Yeah.
The five girls are releasing an album on the 31st of this month. At time of recording, BlockBerry has no remaining artists, and in the last year, both the CEO and the COO were accused of $37 million USD in tax evasion.
Wow.
So, happy ending.
Yeah.
I guess they all escaped, but when I first kind of saw the meme go viral, I had no idea that there was so much kind of going on with it. And
I had more, like, knowledge about Motown and stuff. So when you started with that, like, the transition to the Korean entertainment industry, I had no idea they, like, pulled so much and, like, altered it, you know?
Yeah.
To, like, fit these girl groups. That's just, wow.
Yeah, so much of, like, K-pop, as I was researching this, comes from, like, black culture and specifically the black music scene, which I think is so interesting.
That really is.
Especially now. But Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy story all the way around. Like, at one point, I cut this for a couple of reasons, but Bogberry ended up suing Chu's mom for defamation. I think she came out and, like, publicly was, like, defending her daughter, calling it, this is wrong.
But, did Bogberry win?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but... I can't imagine that they would have, but...
Right, especially. I mean...
Yeah.
It's truth. Truth is the ultimate defense to defamation claims. So, yeah. I mean...
And that's the law, actually.
Yeah.
If you tell the truth.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
I think. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. But, yeah, like, absolutely crazy. I mean, hopefully they don't sue us for any of this, but as I said earlier, they can't afford to. So, yeah. Sue us with what money? Huh? To be fair, I don't think I could afford to get sued either, so. No.
College students, definitely not.
Sort of a standoff in that regard of, like, neither of us can do anything. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and they're never going to hear about this. Hopefully. I say that, and I'm just going to have nightmares for a week, and they're going to sue me.
And I'm gonna... You got your sources.
Yeah, I have my, yeah. No, you're right, I do. With that, I think we're going to wrap up. Once again, my name is Mila Mirkovich.
And I'm Cecilia Wallace.
This podcast is a product of Tommy Media. We are the student news organization here at the University of St. Thomas. And we'll see you next time we are asking, what's up with...